Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dickens, in 1859, wrote what is called one of the best-selling novels of all time, A Tale of Two Cities. I'm sure we've all read it at some point in our educational lives. The first words that Dickens says are these: "It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair." The gospel writer Mark, who we are now reading in year B, he opens his gospel with these familiar words, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Then right after that follows, "John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Those early years of first century Palestine saw the coming of the kingdom of God in the incarnate person of Jesus Christ. Fortunately, the misplaced hope of the people that Jesus would maybe, just maybe, be the one, the Messiah, to save them from the Romans and restore the Davidic kingdom back when they were in charge. Those early years of first century Palestine saw that occupation of Israel by Roman armies and governed by tyrants like Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate. For first century Palestine, there was hope, and it was the best of times. It was also the worst of times. But there's no doubt about it. This gospel today is the worst of times. Every time I hear this gospel read or I read it, it's kind of like I was back in school again when they had blackboards and some clown in the class would go up to the blackboard with their fingernails and drag it down the blackboard with that screeching sound that would send the heebie-jeebies shivers up and down your spine. Feel that way. Feel that way like fingernails on a chalkboard. My response is, I just want to hold my ears. I just want to get away as quickly as possible. And over time, not everyone has felt that this story of the beheading of John the Baptist is all that bad. People have made money by writing operas, songs, and particularly movies in the 50s. It was a very popular genre to have John the Baptist in some sort of Bible movie being beheaded over and over again. This gospel is troubling. It's also compelling. And I find it very difficult at the end of the reading to say, "Praise to you, Lord Christ. Thanks be to God." So where do we go with this violent attack account of the end of John the Baptist? On the one hand, I guess we could say Herod was a man of his word. He stuck to his promise regardless of the cost. Is that admirable? Or is this in time the decision of a spineless, drunken idiot? Did he have any regret? Is there some sort of message? Is there some sort of something that we can find in this hatred, this unquenchable wrath of Herodias, Herod's wife, who, if she could have had her way, John would have already been dead at her own hands? And why? Well, he spoke out the truth. She and Herod have done an immoral act, and John the Baptist was calling them on it. There's something very characteristic about this gospel lesson in that no matter how we listen to it, how many times you read it, is there joy in there? Hope? No. What we hear is a wretched tale of anger, revenge, resentment, and death. And oh, by the way, Jesus is not mentioned at all in this story. It's one of the few stories in Mark's gospel, perhaps the only one, where Jesus doesn't figure it in. God is absent God in Christ is absent from this story. John the Baptist was a man of conviction. He was called by God to prepare the way for the Messiah. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent for the forgiveness of sins. John was a humble man who, by his own admission, was not able or fit to tie Jesus' sandals. John had this one bad habit, though, and that was speaking the truth and speaking it out loudly. It can be a little dangerous, particularly if you're not the one in power or control. Herodias was bound and determined to destroy him. She was just waiting for her chance, and I'll be doggone it if it didn't come in the most unusual way. And Herod's throwing a party for himself, and he gets Herodias' daughter, also named the same, to dance, and Herod's so impressed that he wants to give her anything. Yeah, you can have half my kingdom. It must be, I don't know what they were drinking, but that's pretty stupid to say that because somebody might take you up on it. Well, he would have been better off if she had said, I want half your kingdom, rather than the request through her mother that said, bring me the head of John the Baptizer. John was the last course at that banquet that night. She got her wish. But once again, a figure of power and control had the opportunity to do the right thing, but he did the opposite. He crushed truth, justice, and compassion in one fell swoop. Sound familiar? Sound familiar about calling the authorities or those in power on the truth and shoving it in their face? Very dangerous. Very dangerous. But John was not afraid. He was not afraid of the consequences. John was chosen by God to tell the truth. So nothing could have scared John for that. Now Jesus, as I mentioned a moment ago, is not even in this story at all, but he is. Because if you look at a lot of these stories as a foretaste of what's about to come, Jesus goes about his ministry teaching and healing and preaching, but he's calling them out. He's calling out the authorities, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the priests, the high priest, all of them. He's calling them out constantly because they're hypocrites. They say one thing, but they do something entirely different, and that is oppress the people that they're supposed to care for. Jesus calls them out over and over again, and guess what? Whenever you call out authority with the truth, that can be very dangerous. John would die by the sword. Jesus would die by the cross. The end was the same. They were both dead for calling out and speaking the truth. Well, now, what are we going to do with this? How am I going to get out of this? Well, the way we understand Scripture is not necessarily by these pull out these verses and stories and hang your hat on them. The only way we understand God's revelation to us and what God's message is to us and how God wants us to behave and live is to look at the whole thing. The whole thing. All 66 books of the Bible. That's where the whole story of God is. So in order to get out of this with some grace, I just read ahead a little bit to see what was next. And there was another banquet that follows this story immediately. It's on a mount or a hill or a plain, and there are 5,000 people there hungry. And Jesus, with compassion for them, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. That's what we're going to do in a few minutes. So from that comes our whole Eucharistic formula, the way we do thanksgiving to God. Jesus is in the feeding of the 5,000. God was not in Herod's banquet. Herod's banquet was a banquet of death, anger. Jesus calls us to another banquet, the banquet of life. Amen. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who was
Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work. For this community, the nation, and the world. For Joe, our president, for Brian and Henry, our governors, for the leadership of the CSRA. For the just and proper use of your creation. For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For our congregation in Rincon, St. Luke's, and our companion diocese of the Dominican Republic, for the congregation of Mozivi, Divine Grace. For our presiding bishop, Michael, our bishop, Frank, for our clergy, Joe, Bill, and Erwin, for all bishops, priests, and deacons. For all health care providers, first responders, essential workers, and all who offer of themselves in service to others, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. Give comfort and renew their energy, strength, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. For all who are serving our country at home and abroad, especially Jonathan, Dylan, Joe, Andrew, Zach, Graham, Toby, Trey, Joe, Sylvan, Jim, Zachary, and Bennett. For the members of our search committee, as they enter their final phase of our search for a faithful and compassionate priest to serve as our new rector. Holy God, you have given us, through your grace, the gifts of reason, discernment, and skill. Be both with the members of our search committee and with us as we invite a person of deep faith and love for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Send to us a person who can help us see more clearly the glory and majesty of your kingdom in order that we may share it with others. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, especially Carter, Susan, Martha, Nancy, Roy, Mickey, David, John, June, Hester, Aria, Bill, Margaret, Reese, George, Lewis, Sid, Pete, Reba, Keisha, Lois, Alice, Norm, Darrell, Teresa, Bernice, Marty, Barbara,